This is the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. This show examines the latest legal topics and news facing families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. It is hosted by lawyers Rob Schenck and Will Smith of Schenck Smith LLC, a personal injury law firm based in Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome to the show. Hello out there and welcome to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob Schenck.
And I'm Will Smith.
And we are trial lawyers and we practice in the areas of nursing home abuse and neglect in the state of Georgia. And we happen to be your hosts. I don't know why I feel like I just went into my NPR voice.
You did. You sounded like Lois Reitzitz.
Who's the one that's like All Things Considered? No, that's a show.
Yeah, that's a show.
You know what, though? Also, who I like is there's a, it's, what are they called? They do, like, if it's going to be an eclipse.
Science Friday?
No, it's Block and Bird. Like, somebody's name is, like, John Block, and the other person's name is, like, Kate Bird, and it's, like, Block and Bird. Sounds like a 60s, like, folk band. But okay. They, like, you know, they'll be, like, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, your best vantage point for this
eclipse is
blah, blah, blah. Today you'll see Venus on the horizon.
Yeah.
Block and Bird.
Yeah. I'm glad you went with Venus.
Well, Venus is visible with the naked eye.
Yeah.
And it would be the subject of a Block and Bird segment.
Well, I just meant with your stupid sense of humor, you could have gone with Uranus. Anyway.
A lot of good things to talk about on the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, apart from astronomy. We are shaking things up with this episode.
Yes.
I would like to say that generally our shows follow a pattern where there's a main topic we talk for about 10 or 15, 20 minutes about, and then usually we'll go into a couple of stories from across the country that that are representative of issues with nursing home abuse and neglect.
Right.
This episode, we have tossed out the main topic and are basically just going to talk about a host of different news stories and things that reflect what's going on in the world in the law of nursing home abuse and neglect. I would call it a grab bag episode.
Yeah, and there's a lot going on right now. And the first thing that I want to talk about is this bill that passed in the House, the U.S. House. So it is a federal piece of legislation, and it's called Protecting Patient Access to Healthcare. And it's it just passed the U.S. House of Representatives. It's not law yet. So, it still has to go to the Senate and then still has to be signed off by the president. But it has made the first hurdle. And although this bill is a piece of tort reform that generally comes up every so often, this is one of the first times that I recall in which it has actually passed the House.
Yeah, usually these type of things get voted down. But Will, for the sake of the listener, tell us some of the things that are in the proposed legislation.
So, two very troubling things. One, it would propose a cap on non-economic damages. You could still get unlimited special damages, but general damages would be limited to $250,000. And what we mean by those types of damages are, let's say that someone commits negligence, and this specific bill addresses medical malpractice and the malpractice of healthcare providers,
including long-term care facilities.
So nursing homes. So malpractice against a doctor and nursing homes. Or even, you know, LTACs, long-term acute care hospitals. But what we mean by those damages are, you know, if a doctor or a nursing home commits negligence and it costs you, you know, $300,000 in medical bills to address that. Let's say that a nursing home doesn't take the proper fall precautions, and because of that, your loved one falls and breaks a knee, and they have to have, knee replacement surgery, and it costs them several hundred thousand dollars or $100,000 or whatever it may cost them. That's medical bills. Those are special damages. Those are not affected. What is affected is you can only, under this proposed legislation, you can only seek, where you can only be awarded $250,000 in pain and suffering. So it doesn't matter if you fell and because they dropped you and you broke your knee and you had to get a knee replacement, or if they leave you, which we've read stories like this before, they leave you to die in your bed, bitten to death by ants over the course of a week, it doesn't matter. And they're also proposing...
Well, hang on, let me unpack that a little bit more. So,
yeah.
Generally in the law, the only thing that you can really request a court to do is to compensate you with money. And generally, if a nursing home has neglected your loved one and has caused your loved one injuries, they'll have to compensate you for the resulting damages, which means the medical bills. And as Willis talked about, if there's $250,000 in medical bills, then they owe $250,000 in medical bills. But that's not the only component of a nursing home abuse case. There's the component of damages that are internal, that are emotional, that are reflective of the significance that the injury has had on the life of the resident. And that, in popular terms, can be called pain and suffering. So in other words, what is it worth to have gone through a knee surgery? What is it worth to not have been able to walk for 6 months or possibly never again? How much would you accept to take on that proposition? In other words, if somebody came up to you and said, I have X amount of money, let me take your knee away from you, how much would you accept for that? That's the type of issue that we're talking about when we say pain and suffering. How does the injury impacted your life? Not limited strictly to the actual pain, but how it is affected. Maybe this individual in her final 10 years enjoyed getting up and walking to the den area or the recreation area, and she could walk and say hi to the nurses at the nurse's station and say hello to her fellow residents, and she got great joy in that and now can no longer do that. How much is that worth? And what the federal government and our current House of Representatives is saying is never in any case is that worth more than $250,000, regardless of what state you live in?
Yeah, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what state you live in. It doesn't matter what the extent of your injuries were, the extent of the negligence. It doesn't matter. The other portion of this is that it's going to limit the time frame in which you can bring a lawsuit of this nature to a year, with the most being 3 years. And the reason that I say the most is that even in Georgia, the statute of limitations is 2 years, but under certain circumstances, it could be up to 5 years. Their proposal would say, nope, the statute of limitation is a year with no more than 3 years. So here are the problems that I have with this. First and foremost, that it is being proposed by Republican Steve King of Ohio, and it is being supported, although barely supported, by the Republican Party. And the reason I say barely is that this bill only barely passed the U.S. House of Representatives, and it is H.R. 1215, if you want to look it up. And an easy way to remember it is that it's PACA, Protecting Access through Care Act. So it is being proposed by a Republican and supported even just barely by the Republican Party, which many times has been the party arguing for states' rights and for limited federal government and for increased power for the states to regulate themselves. And yet here we have a bill which preempts state constitutions and says, I don't care what your state has decided. This is what you will get. This is the maximum that can be awarded for non-economic damages in trials in your states. And this is now your statute of limitation for your state. And that is just preposterous. Georgia has already ruled that caps on non-economic damages for certain cases is unconstitutional, according to the Georgia Constitution.
And here we have a representative of a state purporting to be in agreement with the concept of states' rights, trying to overrule what the common law in the courts of Georgia and the state legislature of Georgia have stated.
Yeah.
And just really quickly, with regard to, well, what difference does it make whether or not the statute of limitations is 1 year or 2 years or 3 years or 4 years? The statute of limitations, from a basic standpoint, is a tug of war between two interests. Number one is the interest of the plaintiff in being able to bring forth their claim. Okay. The other interest is the interest of the potential defendant, in this case the nursing home, of having to worry about their actions from a certain amount of time before that. Which, you know, if the statute of limitations is too long, then you have nursing homes that perhaps will shut down because they can't afford the risk of having to worry about claims from over 10 years ago, because they lose,
sure,
they over time lose the ability to defend accurately and with efficiency those claims. If you make the statute of limitations too short, then it probably is going to hurt the injured nursing home residents who don't have time to get their things in order to present that claim. So it's a tug of war between two interests. For the most part, statute of limitations across the country for personal injury, including professional malpractice, range from 1 year to 3 years. Here, the United States legislature, through this H.R. 1215, is deciding for you, regardless of what state you're in, that the statute of limitations for these medical malpractice claims will be 1 year.
Yeah. And that's, to me, just a preposterous piece of legislation. It's not overreaching and a gross misuse of power by the federal government, but you also have to ask, who is this law serving? If nursing homes, and the reason that I bring this up is because I hear time and time again that the plaintiff's bar, that trial attorneys like us only complain about this because it's attacking our wallets and it's attacking our, you know, for us, it's just about the money. First of all, it's about the money for everyone, right? It's not as though nursing homes are pushing this for other reasons. They don't want to be exposed to risk. They're not concerned with patients. They're not concerned with residents. What do you think is going to happen? I mean, look at the state of nursing homes in Georgia already. They're terrible. Even with the threat of lawsuits now, they're terrible. What do you think is going to happen when nursing homes have even less threat of a lawsuit? Because $250,000 is not a threat at all to a nursing home. Because it's not a guarantee that you're going to get that. And the only way that you're going to get that, understand something, that doesn't mean that that's what nursing homes are going to settle for. Because the driver in many of these nursing home cases isn't, especially when you're dealing with a wrongful death case, it isn't the special damages, the medical bills, it's the non-economic damages, right? So the value of that life, or loss of consortium,
and the
pain and suffering.
That's right. So the risk of a large verdict is going to be completely eliminated in the nursing home's risk analysis and calculus when paying out settlements or in the long run, providing care to the residents.
And what I want people to understand is that the limit on non-economic damages means that if they go to trial, the most that they would have to pay out is for non-economic damages is $250,000, which means to them that in a case where your mother died because of an unstageable bed sore that was avoidable, that they could have easily avoided had they enough staff instead of trying to make profit, that you're going to get offered $10,000. Why wouldn't they? Because the only way that you're ever going to get something like $250,000 is if you're willing to go the long haul of the next 3, 4, 5 years just to get that $250,000, and that's emotionally draining on most people. So these companies are not going to, they're not going to be concerned. Why would they not continue to try to make profit and deal with the risk of a lawsuit when they really no incentive anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, it's barely an incentive now. So imagine if you take away this small incentive that we do have, which is, hey, look, we don't know, a jury might give us a couple million dollars, right? Imagine you take that away. Do you think that they're just, and here's the illogic of this. Do you think that they're just going to, on their own, police themselves? Because if you do, why aren't they doing that now? If this really was to protect patient access to care, why not propose legislation that forced nursing homes to absolutely, you must have, it isn't just a breach of the standard of care, but you must have X amount of staff on hand at all times. If you do not, it is automatic you lose your CMS license. Automatic. And it, all of these civil money penalties, all of these things are toothless. And you don't see the legislature jumping through hoops to try to punish nursing homes. But you do see them jumping through hoops to protect nursing homes to make money. And remember this. When you're voting for people, if you've got anybody in your family that is an elderly person that may end up in a nursing home, or if you yourself are a human who also ages and may end up in a nursing home, to remember the individuals who voted for this bill, because they do not care about you.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well said.
Sorry. Steve King, Ohio.
Steve King of Ohio, the ice cream guy,
yeah.
The dairy guy.
Yeah, he's a huge dairy guy. And I don't know, Steve King. Karma's a vicious monster sometimes. And not that I hope any ill will on you, but I definitely see you going to a nursing home at some point in your life.
And with that, I feel like this is like, you remember, you never watched this. I did, because I really loved this show. But it was called Designing Women.
And oh, yeah.
You sounded like every episode, or at least every other episode, there was a time in which...
Not Delta Burke, but the older one would...
Not Linda Carter.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Linda Carter.
Was it Linda? Who played Superman? Who was Wonder Woman?
I mean, Superwoman. Wonder Woman.
No, that's a different person. We're talking. The character was Suzanne Sugarbaker.
Yeah, because I call you Suzanne Sugarbaker because you sound like that sometimes.
Yeah, but not Delta Burke.
Not Delta Burke.
She was also on Different Strokes.
Yes, and she would go off on a tangent. Yeah, she'd have a minute where she'd go, let me tell you something.
And she would have a monologue.
Yeah,
like once every other episode. Which I think, if I'm not mistaken, for her to stay on the show, she required that in her contract. She wanted to be able to have that monologue.
Yeah.
As part of the show. But anyway,
okay,
that's what that reminded me of. You're Suzanne Sugarbaker.
So moving on from federal law and the horrible treatment of residents Let's go to Minnesota.
So this is an article out of Minnesota. This is a Minnesota Department of Health investigation found that neglect was evident in the death of an Annandale Care Center resident. So Annandale Care Center is a long-term care facility somewhere in Minnesota. The resident was not receiving necessary blood thinners because the facility failed to properly enter the resident's physician's order. After 15 days without receiving proper Coumadin dosages, the resident was finally put back on the medication but then died due to acute blood loss. So 15 days without receiving blood thinners. So what does that mean from a medical standpoint? Like, what happened in that person's body?
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know what the underlying... what the underlying disorder was, but there are a host of reasons that somebody may be on blood thinners if they've got some sort of cardiac issue, the physician may put them on blood thinners. And there's a reason that the physician wants them on blood thinners, because their heart is having trouble, for whatever reason, pumping that blood. So when the nursing home doesn't, there's a good question here, and let's use this as a hypothetical. So the nursing home is responsible here because they didn't put in the order for Coumadin, which is the blood thinner, which is also a rat poison in extremely large doses. That's how they kill the rats. But Coumadin, the blood thinner, wasn't entered, and so the resident wasn't getting it. They failed to follow the physician's orders, which is negligence. What we see sometimes, though, and this is not within this story, I'm just using this story to discuss some differences here. What we see sometimes is that people will come to us and say, hey, I don't think that my mother should have been on Coumadin, and they gave her Coumadin or whatever drug, and we think that that is the reason that she died. So is the nursing home responsible then? If they do give the drug that ended up being the sole and proximate cause of the death, let's just assume causation and damages are there. Then the question is negligence there? Well, no. It's the physician. So what you potentially have here is a medical malpractice issue. And that is a different practice area. Our practice area has to do with, you know, when the nursing home got the physician order that said, I want you to give this resident X medicine, and they didn't follow through with it. Either they put it in the system, or the floor nurse who passes out the medicine forgot to do it, or in some cases, at least with opioids and other pain medicine, was taking them herself. That's an interesting difference, though, because I do frequently get calls where they say, hey, I want to sue the nursing home because they gave my mother medication X, and we later found out that they shouldn't have.
So another issue that is a possibility with this case in terms of liability of the nursing home itself is that it's possible that it looks like after 10 days, the resident complained of abdominal pain and was taken to the hospital. The doctors discovered a large pool of blood along the muscles where the resident was receiving injections. So it's possible that based on the subjective complaints of the resident, the observation of blood pooling in the injection sites, that the nursing home failed to notify physicians in a timely fashion that could have prevented her death. Which again, time and time again, we say on this podcast that sometimes, even if the initial injury is not the result of the nursing home negligence, failing to do something about it in a timely fashion creates the cause of action that would be that would allow for a lawsuit against the nursing home, and that's what I think this case could potentially be about. Even on top of the the negligence and not following the physician's orders.
Yeah.
So that comes to us from Minnesota. Let's hop over to.
This is one in Georgia, actually.
Let's come back home.
Yeah, let's come back home. And this one's in Coweta County, and it has to do with the actions of a nursing assistant in Noonan Health and Rehab. She has spelled it Newman, but it is not the Seinfeld character. It actually should be Noonan. Anyway, we're talking about our intern, whom we love and cherish very much and does an excellent job. Anyway, a nursing aide in a Noonan Health and Rehab caused injuries that led to the death of a patient, Edna Warren. While at the nursing home, Ms. Warren and the nursing aide got into a physical dispute, which led the nursing aide to break Ms. Warren's legs. She was immediately taken to the hospital, not able to survive the surgery. GBI is charging the nursing aide for aggravated battery, exploitation, and intimidation of an elderly person.
Yeah. According to the police report, Ogun Coonley had attempted to get Warren ready for breakfast.
Ogun Coonley is the assistant, yeah, the nursing assistant.
Had attempted to get Warren ready for breakfast when she became combative and began kicking him. When Ogun Coonley allegedly held her legs together to keep them from getting kicked, he heard a cracking sound in her leg.
So that sounds awful. You know, what ends up being the situation here is that there are conflicting reports, and at one point the nursing assistant admits that he lied because he was scared of getting in trouble. So it doesn't really say what he lied about, but certainly that's awful. You know, it's a hard job, and I'm clearly not taking up for this individual for what he did to this nursing assistant. I mean, to this resident. But I would like to know more facts, and I'd like to know what happened. My gut tells me that he probably did something he shouldn't have. But you have to remember that the elderly are people who, and this is a 98-year-old woman, her bones couldn't be any more brittle. And it is certainly possible that she was lashing out at him, and he was trying to do his best to restrain her without hurting her, and she ended up getting hurt in the process. Personally, I don't think that's the situation. I think this guy got upset and broke this woman's legs. And if that's the case, you know, there is a special place in hell for individuals like that. But it does, I do want to take just a minute to talk about the fact that there are always bad apples, whether they're police officers, whether they're members of the military, whether they're, you know, the individuals who work in the nursing home industry. I have a special place, you know, in my mind for these people because it is an extremely difficult job. They are horribly understaffed. And at the end of the day, the people I blame most are the owners and operators of these nursing homes. This guy, if he did what the allegations suggest, is going to go to prison, and he should. And if he doesn't have a proclivity to commit these types of actions, then there's really not going to be a legal case against the owners and operators. But I still kind of, in my mind, hold them responsible because I imagine that if they were paying well, investigating everything that was going on in their nursing home and had a complete staff, this type of thing wouldn't happen. And that's...
I would...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I threw it back to you when you're still trying to formulate a good way to segue
into inning. No, what I was doing was trying to research and confirm that it's not Linda Carter who was Wonder Woman.
Ah, yes.
It is Dixie Carter.
Dixie Carter.
Who played Julia Sugarbaker.
Yeah.
Delta Burke played Suzanne Sugarbaker. So I was accusing you earlier when you went on your soapbox for 20 minutes about proposed legislation that you were being Dixie Carter and Julia Sugarbaker, so the record is correct.
Okay.
All well, right.
Now that we have that correct. Which,
and just so that everybody understands, I would like to be Annie Potts' character. She was my favorite. I like redheads. So
duly noted. That's and what it. Should also be duly noted is that we are fortunately out of time for this episode, which has been very interesting.
That's right. As always, you can download new episodes of the Nursing Home Podcast on the audio portion of the podcast on Stitcher or iTunes, or you can watch on our website, which is nursinghomeabusepodcast.com, or on our YouTube channel. New episodes every Monday morning for your viewing or listening pleasure. And with that, we thank you, and we will see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Please be sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and feel free to leave us some feedback. And for more information about the topics discussed in this episode, check out the show website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. That's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.